Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers, and you're welcome to call in to ask questions or make comments during the show. Telephone toll-free 877-876-5227, and for time being, that is only good in the U.S. and Canada, I believe. Otherwise, you're welcome to ring 530-876-3222. I'll repeat these numbers. The toll-free number for America is 877-876-5227. And the regular phone number to ring is 530-876-3222. And I am also a professional psychic medium and Reiki practitioner. For more information about the services that I offer, you're welcome to visit my website, towardsthelight.org. And of course, as always, I offer near-death support. This week, I'm very proud to welcome our dear friend who's been a friend for a few years. He went to all of the FOI main meetings. That's the Friends of the International Association for Near-Death Studies support group meetings that I had when I was up in Maine. This is a wonderful man that I've referred to a few times on my show, who has had a near-death experience at the age of 5 from being beaten and then being in a coma, and he never had any recollection of it. But because of some special experiences that happened, he gained recall of his NDE. I want to welcome this evening Chris Owen. Welcome, Chris, and how are you?
Good, Juliet. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay, thank you. It's so nice to hear your voice again, even though we did chat earlier because it's just so fun and easy to do. But why don't we start by having you share with our listening audience about your NDE. It was quite an interesting experience, to say the least. And was I correct? It was at age 5.
Yep, that was age 5. And it was the injury I received in the schoolyard, and I was in a coma for 8 days. It was on the first night of that experience when I had my NDE. My NDE was basically just a short visit in the spirit world that is kind of hung with me the rest of my life, and it's something I think about every day. And it was very, very intense experience. And there's many ways that I've tried to describe it, try to figure it out, what it all means. And I think every day I still find out more about it. To give you some of the details, the things I felt were the kind of warmth and love that is really the fabric of the universe. And when I was talking to you earlier this afternoon about Bill Taylor's experience, I just had a lot of emotions well up in me just listening to that testimony.
And let me interject here that our listeners can hear that in the archive shows of Toward the Light, my interview with Bill Taylor, who's the former president of the International Association for Near-Death Studies. That was a really auspicious show, and it was so wonderful talking to him and about the love being the web of the universe.
Yes, it really is the fabric of the universe. And I've just got through reading this book, Journey of Souls, and a lot of the things that this gentleman has discovered in his research corresponds to what I've experienced, that there are clusters of souls, that really the universe is full of them. The universe is full of life, and it's full of souls, and they're not in conflict. They're in at peace, and it's just what you don't find here, because here is very competitive and you know, materialistic, and that's not the way it is in the spirit world at all.
Let me back up just a little bit, because when I first met you and you were coming to the FOI meetings in Portland, Maine, if my memory serves me correctly, you did not recall the content of your NDE, correct? But you still could recall the feelings that you got, or how much did you remember at the time when we first met and you were coming to the meetings?
I think what you find is that you have the experience hovering over you, but you don't connect it because you've disconnected it. Like when you PMH Atwater makes reference to that especially children, it interferes with the expectations of growing up and the demands of growing up. And she says children are six times more likely than adults to suppress their NDE because it just is counter to what they're experiencing, and they're having enough difficulty assimilating the information of growing up. But what I remembered was always with me. It's just that I failed to connect, and I didn't know what it was, and I didn't understand it. And it was first when I started reading PMH Atwater's research that I noticed a number of the similarities and things that I used to do that are something that are the pattern of NDE children. Like, for instance, she talks about how they build altars.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I was an altar builder.
Me too.
And how their fascination with religion, and I was always extremely fascinated with religion, always studying religion, studying the lives of the saints. I studied Eastern religions when I was a teenager. Just an insatiable fascination with that. And then I met you, and you're the one who helped me connect what was hovering around in the back of my mind and bring it to the front of my mind so I could think about it and analyze it. And for that, I'm forever grateful. And maybe that's why you ended up coming from Tennessee to Maine.
Well, I feel so honored for that experience and the...
I'm glad. I know you didn't really like it up here too much, but I was the beneficiary of you coming up here, and I really appreciate it.
Well, there were indeed some things I did like as well, and I certainly miss the ocean and all the beautiful bodies of water. It is beautiful up there, but I did get very sick there, and I got pneumonia, which actually reminded me of childhood pneumonias and what caused me to die as a child too, and likewise forgetting the details, because I think I was so, at least I as a child was so interdimensionally by nature that I couldn't really distinguish the difference between what I was going through in my NDEs and what I was going through normally, always toggling between the different dimensions. And likewise, reading PMH's book, and the book that we are referring to for our listeners' sake is called The New Children and the Near-Death Experience. And of course, I've brought that book up a lot too, and I've mentioned you because of the fact that as a result of your encountering me and having a session with me and reading PMH's book, which is so invaluable, to say the very least, that it brings things to light, and it actually helped me also to understand aspects about myself as I was as a child and even as an adult, because of course I've had NDEs as both a child and as an adult. And another thing she points out too is that when a child has NDEs, they tend to grow up pretty quickly, or mature, I should say. And that often people would think that children are older than they are, and then adult NDEs, people think that they are younger than they are. So that has happened with me. But I remember...
Yeah.
It was sort of like these different layers unfolding, and then one afternoon you came over to our flat and you were showing me these amazing drawings that you did, like 3 of them, 4 of them, something like that.
Yeah, by the way, I just dug those up again.
Good, I can't wait.
I've got them, so we'll get them scanned and sent over to you.
And then I can put them on my website too with your permission, or at least maybe one or two of them, and let our...
Absolutely.
...get an idea of some of the really tremendous things that can come forth, because I do know, and actually I had Dr. Jeff Long on my show as well, we were talking about the fact that a lot of people do not remember their NDEs, and it doesn't matter if they were children or adults, and then all of a sudden some kind of event happens, and then they... gain recall, and it seems like it's a very auspicious time that the recall happens.
And
you do something, you end up doing something really special as a result of that. It looks like you've done this.
Well, I've tried. I'm still trying. But I think that the vehicle for recalling an NDE is like PMH says in her book, but which I found out through experience, is you find another person who has had one, and they tell you about it, and then it's almost a mystical situation, because that emotion comes back, and that emotion is very unique, and once you latch on to that emotion, then you just say, you know, aha, that's what it was, that's what it is. You know, that thing that's been hovering around me for my whole life, that's what it was all about. It wasn't just some, you know, strange fantasy. The Night of the Spirits is what I call it. There really aren't too many outlets to find out these things, and there's not a lot of people talking about these things, and... of course, you know, mainstream religion doesn't really have anything to say about it. It's something you got to find out on your own. You got to search on your own and do your own work. But I believe that these things are done for a reason, and the people who seek will find out what it was in their life. And they'll get down to the truth if they seek hard enough.
Was there a certain time that you really started questing again for this understanding of your NDE, or was it triggered by the fact that I showed up and had the support group? Or did it happen before then? Or both?
Well, I had a reading from somebody that...
Oh, that's right.
I was actually trying to find out about my genealogy, which I've been interested in genealogy, and one of my many interests. And instead of getting a reading about genealogy, I got a reading about my NDE and how I really needed to explore it and to understand it and to... rediscover it and to work with it. So that was curious. That's really what started the curiosity. And then the rest of it all followed. It's just part of a pattern, it seems. I don't consider any of these things accidents. I think these are things that are following a pattern because that's my life path. The same thing with, you know, what I do now with spiritualism. It's all part of a pattern, and the NDE is just one aspect of it. And it's the if you want to get into the details, the drawings that we're talking about. I made a drawing of a peacock, which was part of my NDE, and the symbolism. I've had readings on that, and the symbolism is, from what I can understand, is that the many eyes of the peacock are you know, the many spirits and the many souls, and they all come down to one center. And I've seen these. Every time I see peacock feathers or something, you know, it makes me think that, well, this is part of the path. This is part of my life. I know it sounds kind of funny, but that's the way I'm looking at it.
No, it doesn't sound funny at all, because I'm always paying attention likewise in the same way. And in fact, funnily enough, recently I was sent a picture via email of a beautiful albino peacock. And that peacock is my wallpaper now on my computer. And every time I look at that, I'm just so in awe. And it looks like the peacock is made out of pure light. And I know exactly what you're talking about. You're referring to the eyes of the tail feathers.
Mm.
And then how they all converge in the center. And that really does make a lot of sense. A lot of sense. And so when you encounter one of these feathers, it's just a reminder, here's another soul, here's another connection.
Mm.
I would definitely say that that makes tremendous sense, and that you should pay attention to it.
Yeah. The second aspect was the what I call the medicine man, or the person who led me back to this life, because I was very happy where I was. I was very happy watching the spectacle of the spirit world. And the medicine man who he was in a costume, was the one who forced me back. And I made a drawing of that.
And
I took it to the guy who runs the powwow up here in West Ossipee, and he's a Seneca Indian, and I asked him, you know, this is what I saw. I told him, of course, he was an NDEer also, and his mission was to organize that powwow up there, which he's done every year. And he said, well, that's a Kachina, that's a Hopi Kachina. And I said, well, okay, could you spell that for me? This is a couple of years ago. And about a month after my NDE, when I was out of the woods and I was healthy again, I had an apparition of my medicine man, but the mask was gone. And I just found it was curious, because I did research into Hopi prophecies and so on. And see, I don't know. It's a mystery to me why a spirit like that would come to send me back, because I'm of Dutch descent. I'm not an American Indian. But one thing that I saw that was interesting to me when I checked out some of the Hopi sites with the Hopi literature, and it talks about the Kachina, when the Kachina removes his mask during a dance in the plaza before uninitiated children, which is the general public, this is a sign that of the coming of the blue star and the red star. And now this, there was a song, there's a special song that's sung during their initiation ceremony every year. Well, the ceremony happens every year, but the song evidently was sung, is only sung at certain times. And I guess it foretells this blue star Kachina arrival. And it was sung in 1914, just before World War One, in 1940, before World War Two, and it was sung in 1961. And I just thought that was curious because it just sounded a lot like what I experienced. I experienced this this medicine man who was, you know, decked out in like a Kachina costume, with the mask and so on. He sent me back here instead of leaving me in the spirit world where I was having a great time. And then a month later, when I was conscious, I saw him without his mask. So I just found that very curious.
Well, I believe that all of us who are that are done so for very specific reasons, because there's so many people who have had a lot less trauma inflicted on their bodies, yet they were allowed to cross over and stay on the other side, and yet so many of us were afraid to come back. And we came to bear messages, and we may not always understand at the time why we had to come back or why we had to bear a certain message. Even, like, for example, what you're talking about, being Dutch descent and not being Native American, but yet there's something that's really charging you from deep within about sharing and conveying these messages. Maybe perhaps because you are so receptive and you have been given a special assignment by these beings who recognize that you are receptive and that you are so willing to share the wisdom, because God love you, lad, you have devoured books and you've done tremendous research just since we've met, and I wish that I could read as much and as quickly as you have done, but I've seen you just in the past 3 years, the tremendous strides that you have made and the information that you have gleaned, and you know, all the radio shows, all the books, all the encounters that you've had, and the work that you've been doing, and then evolving into spiritualism, which of course is, you know, it's something that I really resonate with and have done for many, many years. And it's put you on a very special path now. So I really want to encourage you that it is okay and it is right for you to share these messages come what may. And, you know, whatever you're feeling that you would like to share about that, it's interesting about the blue star and the red star, because we're in such a critical time now, and PMH has been talking about it in her most recent book about the new children and the coming of the fifth world. There's radical changes going on that everybody's wondering about, and again, I think it is because of those of us who have been to the other side. We've gleaned a great deal of knowledge and wisdom, not to mention love, from our experiences, and we didn't come back to keep silent, otherwise why would we have been sent back? It's not
that's correct, that's absolutely correct.
But we have got a message to bear. So, and you've been doing really wonderful writing and artwork and being very creative. That's all a very wonderful byproduct of the near-death experience. And that's why I feel, again, you suddenly got recall of your NDE after all these years, and you're in your 40s now, correct?
47.
47, okay.
Yeah, my NDE was 64, so that was over 40 years ago.
And it was some bullies beating you in the schoolyard, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, there. But, you know, interestingly, now is the time when it seems most needed for you to remember your NDE, and it's also leading to a lot of other really tremendous things.
Well, the message that all of us, the baseline messages that all of us get, the most basic is that, it's like David Icke says, infinite love is the only truth. And you say that, and you think, well, that's such a simple message, but why is that so hard to get across? Why is it so hard to share with people? Why so much resistance? And it's crazy. It really is. That's the fabric of the universe is love, period, the end. And it's the rest of it is just head games. You know, it's power plays, head games. And unfortunately, the human race as a whole is just not listening because the message is not getting out. It's not getting out in the mainline churches. The mainline churches today are a shambles for the most part. That's why I have high hopes for spiritualism. And I want to just say hello to all my brothers and sisters out there in the West Coast. They have 10 spiritualist churches out there. Maine has 6, so we're catching up. But I also want to just repeat the message of the Hydesville Spirit. He said, "Dear friends, you must proclaim these truths to the world. This is the dawning of a new era. You must not try to conceal it any longer. When you do your duty, God will protect you, and the good spirit will watch over you."
That's a good thing to remember.
I really feel that spiritualism is not only the religion of the universe, but also it's about to take off. I really believe that. The two keys are healing and mediumship, spirit messages and healing. And that's what it's all about. That's what, to me, spirituality is all about.
And it's because about acknowledging that there is an afterlife and that life is eternal, that we do not cease to be when we leave our bodies behind. And I really love this, and I love talking about spiritualism because of that. Because that is the one religion that, if you really want to even call it a religion, it feels more like a livelihood, a practice, and it's a tremendous experience. This reminds us and lets us know that we are interdimensional beings, and that's a huge part of what this program is about, is reminding people that we are interdimensional beings, that we do exist on other dimensions, and that when we leave our bodies behind, that's the only thing we lose is our physical body. We don't need that earth suit anymore. And share with us, if you'd like to, a little bit about your experiences in your spiritualist group, and if you've shared much about the near-death experience with them.
Well, my first healing talk was from, I based it on PMH's book, which is also the book you sell, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Near-Death Experiences.
Yes, and you can find that right here on the BBS radio website.
Yeah, and I just talked about a couple of the experiencers, and it's I think that spiritualism and NDEers are just go hand in hand. It just people were very receptive, and they were very pleased to hear these things. And the work that PMH has done, it's very, very scientific work. It's based on a lot of research, and spiritualism is also very scientifically based. We're based on natural law. In my healing chair every week, I use a couple of tools. I use the Reiki tools, the basic Reiki symbols, over the people that I'm working on, but also I relive my NDE. I bring back my my medicine man, and I feel that if he was strong enough to bring me back to life, then he's strong enough to heal these clients, these people, these fellow worshipers, whatever ails them. And hopefully they're listening tonight, and they'll understand. I haven't had a whole lot of chance to talk to them about this particular aspect, but that's what I do in my healing chair. And I've been in the Morris Pratt course, which I'm doing the mediumship portion of it, and it's just surprising to that I have had some success. I've had several affidavits filled out, some interesting stories of messages that I've brought through, but I certainly take a back seat to Reverend Gloria Nye, who to me is one of the most gifted mediums I've ever met. And yourself included. You're included in that group too, Julia. But Reverend Gloria is just a wonderful person. She does wonderful work for us, and her readings are truly extraordinary. And people can come for readings, and essentially they get them for free. You know, I mean, they can do a donation if you want, but they can get a fantastic, life-changing reading, which they'll remember for the rest of their lives. And it's just part of the work that we do, and it's something that you don't see done anywhere else. It's something that's desperately needed. There's a huge spiritual vacuum in the world. If you go back to the, I like to look at the Hopi prophecy rock, which talks about the way of the mind and the way of material, and then the way of the spirit. The way of materialism, those people who worship their left side of their head, the linear thinking leads to destruction. The way of the spirit, the way of the heart, leads to prosperity. And the way that we're living now on this earth is very destructive. It's very materialistic. It's not going to end up good unless we turn back to the spirit. And that's my other message.
I even remember Mother Teresa at one time had said that the greatest poverty, and no offense to anyone, was in America, the greatest poverty is the lack of spirit, the lack of love.
Absolutely.
Spiritual impoverishment. There seems to be a lot of money and a lot of stuff. Not only in America, but other places as well, including my own country, in England. A serious lack of spirituality and being focused in love. And an interesting thing, too, that PMH brought up was the heart. The actual heart is more recently in science being considered the fifth brain, that actually you've got 60 to 65% of neural cells, and then the greater consciousness actually exists or comes through, I should say, the heart chakra. So it isn't just the brain that is a receiver of information, but also the heart, and actually the heart center is the more reliable source of information, and that's why one of my favorite slogans is, it is only with the heart that one sees rightly what is essential is invisible to the eye. So we're making some very valuable points there that we really do need to listen to our heart, and there's nothing folly whatsoever about doing so.
No, today it's all, everything's brain oriented, everything is it's all numbers oriented, and it's just leading us down the wrong path. And it's not just America. You see the after effects in China, India, they're South America. They're ripping up rainforests in China and India. They're polluting. Pollution is horrible because they're just starting to industrialize. Russia, there's nuclear waste all over the place. The nuclear issue is particularly bad because that's what in 1948 the Hopis got together to bring forth their prophecies to the public for the first time. And the reason they did this was because they felt that the atom bomb was a prophecy fulfillment. And today we have the nuclear genies out of the bottle, and you've got other countries now wanting to get nuclear power. India or Pakistan, they've gotten it. Iran wants it. You have the United States, which is using depleted uranium in its warfare tactics, which is, I think, is a complete mistake. And you see that the whole world is not, it's going in the wrong direction, and we need to go back into the right direction, and we need to do it by listening to our hearts, listening to spirit, and trying to heal ourselves, and not trying to think our way with our brains out of all our problems, because that only leads to more problems. Certain individuals, I don't know if you want me to say, but certain corporations, they, you know, they've created these great charitable organizations, which, you know, throw more money into more science, which is fine, but at the same time, they neglect the spirit. So we're throwing billions and billions of dollars into vaccines for this or programs for that, but the root cause of all these problems is spiritual. It's not really material. The spirit has to be there to guide the material, and life on this earth is a balance. If you go to any extreme, then you're going to have extreme consequences. And right now, I just believe that we are at an extreme situation, and we desperately need to reconnect with spirit and reconnect with the things that really matter, and stop all these petty wars and petty disputes, and let's get on with living productive lives and sharing with each other and loving each other. That's really it in a nutshell. And this is what the universe is telling us to do. And
I think it's interesting how the near-death experiences have, in recent years, just been coming out in the open, we've sort of been putting our necks out there, as it were, and saying, wait a minute, there's a different reality. There's something more important we need to be focusing on here. And because we've had these experiences, and not just theorizing about things, we can actually let people know there is something beautiful, there is something so much better than what we're getting all caught up in here on this plane. And I so agree with David Icke's statement that infinite love is the only truth, everything else is illusion. And to be quite honest, the physical plane is nothing but a hologram. And I know I've said that many times and will probably say it many more times, because I think if people can start to realize that this is all a projection from the collective consciousness, we are so powerful in our minds and in our hearts that we can change all of this. And I think that these prophecies are very important warnings coming forth, letting us know, hello friends, wake up. We need to remember that there is something divine, that there is something bigger than all of this little maddening stuff that you are perceiving right now. Remember that you are a sacred being, that you come from the light, and to the light you will return. So when we have these near-death experiences, we can be reminded of that, and then we can gently tap our neighbor on the shoulder and say, guess what? You're immortal. You're going to be all right. You're going to get through this. This is not what constitutes reality. So it's very interesting to boldly come forth and make these declarations from a place of experience. I also remember in the Journal of Near-Death Studies, which is the more academic publication that is released every quarter by IAMS, there was an article about NDEs that Native Americans had, and it was very, very fascinating. And it would be interesting to compare notes with all of these individuals' experiences and some of the prophecies that have been coming forth, but it seems that it's just been in more recent years also that their prophecies have been coming more out into the open. Am I right about that, Chris?
Yeah, they've had a lot more experience. The Hopi prophecies are thousands of years old, and the religion of the American Indians goes back to the, who knows, back to the Ice Age. They've had a lot of time to think about these things. And we dismiss them because we had our own agenda. We're the European folks, they had a different agenda and they weren't interested, and they just belittled the traditions that had existed for thousands of years. But there is hope. I believe within spiritualism there's a great respect for the American Indian traditions, and we have them in great esteem, and we realize their value, and a lot of us realize the mistakes that our own people as a group who came over here made, and it's very regrettable, very regrettable. I was talking to Michelle tonight about every time I see Andrew Jackson's on the $20 bill, all I can think of is what happened to the Cherokee Indians when they were forced west of the Mississippi. And this was after they had renounced their own way of life. They had put their own traditions on the back burner and became westernized. And yet that still was not enough. They were still forced into exile in the Trail of Tears. And that is just a horrendous mistake, and it's something that people should always remember. how silly we can be in our quest for more material to step over truth and principles and virtue and commit these kind of crimes. And these, unfortunately, we haven't learned in many respects. I think if we had learned, then we wouldn't be using millions of pounds of depleted uranium in our armaments, because that's, you know, contaminating the world. The more we use that stuff. And there was an interesting story that in the book, Tom Sawyer was one of the first prominent NDEers to come out and you know, be on kind of the mainstream media's radar screen, and he got into many of the talk shows and so on. He wrote a book called What Tom Sawyer Learned from Dying. In that book, he talks about the Aborigines in Australia. And there was a, we would refer to it, or they referred to it as a legend. The Aborigines didn't. They referred to it as truth. And it stated that there was a god beneath their feet, that if they disturbed this god, then this god would destroy humanity. And that was their ancient tradition, to respect that god and not to disturb that god. And in the late 60s and early 70s, they discovered uranium, a uranium ore in Australia. And today, Australia is the second largest producer of uranium ore in the world. And it's the truth of a prophecy. It's the fulfillment of a prophecy. The Hopis prophesied about the gourds full of ashes, which they interpreted as the nuclear bomb. When the nuclear bomb went off in 1945, that's what made them decide to make their sacred prophecies public to the world. They even sent one of their emissaries to the United Nations to speak about it. And nuclear material, nuclear weapons, it's a tremendous danger. And it's not because it's intrinsically dangerous, it's because of the hands that it gets into, the people's hands. And it's, our people are not spiritually developed enough to really handle this kind of stuff. I mean, it can be used for good or evil. And unfortunately, the world is in a state of constant warfare, and this is how the way of materialism, the worship of material, is in power, is leading to our destruction. That's one aspect of it.
One thing that I'll share too, this is so interesting, because as a result of my NDE as a grown-up, it actually ultimately gave me more courage to just come out with what I was getting psychically, because I would have dreams and visions and premonitions and all kinds of stuff, like crazy and very frequently. But I would be very silent about it because I was afraid to put myself out there with what I was seeing. And this also includes the fact that I saw the quote-unquote 9/11 event 10 years before it happened whilst I was in Boston. I had a very powerful dream and vision about it, and I saw that the source of the disaster was not in the Middle East. The source of the disaster was right here. And then when it happened, it just hit me straight away. Oh my God, that's what I saw 10 years ago, and I knew exactly what it was. And now I've just sort of got an attitude of, come what may, I'm just going to be honest and put it out there, because there are people who will hear it, there are people who are going to understand, and then so many people have followed suit and have exposed some of the things that have occurred. And now I don't feel so strange because I am a natural psychic and always have been. Now I figure that this gift, this ability that I have, is very important. It has saved lives, including my own. And you know, a lot of NDEs just naturally become more psychic, more intuitive, and also having the ability to do healing and the Reiki work that we do is our just being a conduit for that universal life force energy that heals. And we need to all be embracing of and aware of the fact that divine love is that healing energy that runs through all of us and is accessible at any moment. And so to me it is important to listen to what we get intuitively, what we get in our dreams, on experiencing again, acknowledging ourselves as interdimensional and multi-sensory beings.
Well, I think what the problem is that in the physical plane, everything has limits. We think we're very limited. You know, you've only got so much money, you've only got so many resources. You know, everything, you've only got so much fuel, you've only got so much food. Everything's got a finite scarcity to it. But what we fail to realize is that the universe is infinite.
Exactly.
Love is infinite. And the material of the universe is love. So if we would focus on that instead of the scarcity of resources, which is all we ever focus on, we would be a lot more charitable. We would be a lot more balanced in our viewpoints. And we would be much more in contact with reality, because reality is really what you make of it. You recommended the Seth books to me, and that's pretty much the message. You can read all 10 of them, and reality is really what you make of it. If you want a balanced reality with spirit, you can have it. If you want to have a materialistic existence, well, that's what we've chosen, and that's what we've got, and now we're going to reap the whirlwind if we, you know, don't face up to it, face up to our mistakes, and turn back towards spirit.
Well, that's a really wonderful reminder that you have shared, is that the universe is infinite, and we do need to focus on what we really, really want, and not what we perceive as limitations on the physical plane. Well, our time is about up here, Chris, and it has just been such a joy to have you with us and to have you sharing your experiences. And I hope that you will continue to do that, whether you're working on your website or writing or giving sermons or healings. We really, really love you and bless you and appreciate you so much. And I want to remind your listeners again to also visit my website, which is towardsthelight.org. And I'm also available to accommodate you with readings and Reiki sessions, even from long distance. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. And it's such an honor and joy to talk with everyone and to hear from people. So we hope that you will join us next week when we have another transmission of Towards the Light, leading back to the source. And please do remember once again that only love prevails. Blessings to all.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.